Conference record has joined the conference.
Okay, super. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the webinar, Navy Preventive Medicine and Management of the STI Patient. This webinar is hosted by the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center, and we greatly appreciate you all taking time out of your very busy day to join us. Our speakers today are Mr. Dwight Richards. He is a health counselor for the Virginia Department of Health and a former Navy PMT. Chief Ivory Barksdale, Navy Preventive Medicine Technician at NetMU 6. HM2Z, Navy Preventive Medicine Technician for Naval Health Clinic Hawaii. Mrs. Asha Riego Didios, she is a staff epidemiologist for the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center. And I'm Bob MacDonald, a public health educator and manager of the Sexual Health and Responsibility Program here at the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center. We had planned to be joined by Dr. Anne Rompalo. She's a professor of medicine at the medical director at the STD HIV Prevention Training Center at Johns Hopkins. However, she had to cancel at the last minute due to a family emergency, and we hope and trust that she and her family are well. Again, please do use your phone until you have a question or comment. Please do not put your phone on hold at any time during this call. If you have more than one person with you now viewing this presentation, would you please indicate the number of those in attendance in the chat box now? This will help us get a good head count. The last few minutes of the webinar will be dedicated to questions and answers. But if you have a question during the presentation, please feel free to enter it in the chat box that you see there in the bottom right of your screen. Time permitting, we hope to address all your questions, of course. But if we fail to do that, if we run out of time, please don't hesitate to reach out to our presenters.
Are you Snapchatting? Can you ask him if he can go, if we can use his...
hi there. Can I ask you to mute your phone, please?
Oh. I'm so sorry.
If you experience any connectivity issues during the webinar, just try to log back in. If you find that you're unable to log back in, you can go to our webinar page, and you can actually see the slides there now, and you could follow along that way while you listen to the audio. Okay, so our learning objectives for our very brief time together today are shown on your screen now. We'll take a quick look at the STI case standards of care as defined by the CDC. We'll talk about an idealized STI patient flow and take a look at the primary tasks of each of the clinics that are involved in that care. We'll invite preventive medicine technicians in the field to talk to us about the challenges that they face and some of the solutions that they've found as they endeavor to do this important work. We'll hear about case and risk behavior reporting via DRSI. We'll hear from a local public health department and some ideas regarding collaboration with your locals and how to make that a productive relationship. And finally, we'll take a look at some patient management resources. And may I ask everyone to please double-check that you have muted your phone. Thanks so much. So standards of care. On this screen, you see a link to the CDC's 2015 STD treatment guidelines. In those guidelines, we are reminded that caring for the STI patient involves more than just the medication. But there are other services that should be offered in conjunction with treatment. For example, the CDC recommends that every person diagnosed with an STI should receive brief prevention counseling regarding future risk reduction from the attending clinician. Also, the CDC and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends what they term intensive behavioral counseling for future risk reduction. That intensive behavioral counseling can be fulfilled in a couple of ways. One of the models recommended by the CDC is the six-step respect model, and this is the same patient prevention counseling model that is taught to all Navy PMTs during their C-school. We should also offer the patient partner services, working with the patient to bring partners to care. Again, there is a very helpful CDC recommended process for partner referral, and all Navy PMTs are taught that model and that process during their C-school. Obviously, the clinician can take care of this rather than referring to PrevMed, but someone should provide it to meet the standard of care. Patients not previously vaccinated for HPV up to the age of 26 should be offered HPV vaccination and treatments. Men who have sex with men should be offered hepatitis A vaccination if not already vaccinated or immune. All patients diagnosed with an STI should be offered hepatitis B vaccination if not already vaccinated. For men who have sex with men or other people at substantial risk of a future HIV infection, we should be thinking about the candidacy, the eligibility of that patient for pre- and post-exposure prophylaxis. And even if the patient is not necessarily a candidate today, if you think they could benefit from understanding the availability of this medication, HIV preventive tool, then we should take the time to explain that to the patient. All patients diagnosed with an STI should be given an HIV test, and men who have sex with men should have an HIV and a syphilis test at least annually. And so you will want to talk to the patient about encouraging them to seek out that annual testing. Any of your male or female patients diagnosed with gonorrhea, chlamydia, or trich should be automatically scheduled for another test 3 months post-treatment. The reason this is recommended by the CDC is because repeat infections are so common, and it's important for us to identify and treat that reinfection as early as possible. And finally, we should complete the appropriate level of case reporting via DRSI and comply with our local reporting agreements. Also, we're going to hear more about that. So this is just a very quick look at the additional services that should be offered each patient diagnosed and treated with an STI. On this slide, I apologize if that's difficult for you to read in the current view. You can expand the size of that slide on your screen now if you'd like to, using the DCS controls. But here we propose an idealized patient flow diagram. And so each of the boxes here on the screen represent a different clinic. And there you see the attending clinician, the lab, immunizations, and PrevMed. And the idea is that the clinician should not just treat, but also offer brief prevention counseling, and should also schedule the patient for follow-up testing 3 months post-treatment if the diagnosis is gonorrhea, chlamydia, or trich. You can see that the clinician should refer the patient to the lab for an HIV test and a syphilis test. They should refer the patient to immunizations if hepatitis A, hepatitis B, or HPV are indicated. And they should directly refer the patient to preventive medicine. I would propose that the most efficient model is direct referral to these three clinics at the time of treatment. Of course, referral to PrevMed is dependent upon the availability of PrevMed in the building, at least, or at least within walking distance of the treatment area. And it depends on the whether or not the PrevMed department offers walk-in services. Obviously, both of those conditions must be true for this to happen in an ideal way. But direct referral to PrevMed at the time of treatment greatly decreases the likelihood of losing the patient to follow. Okay. The role of preventive medicine is to offer prevention counseling, sexual partner referral, and obviously to complete the reporting requirements for DRSI, for local public health, for partner referral to other jurisdictions. PrevMed can also double check that the testing, vaccination, and follow-up appointment criteria have been met, that the patient understands the need for these things, and can in that way also be a great help to the clinician to ensure these other services are taken care of. This diagram, by the way, is available on our website, and I'll point out later on where you might find it. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to HM2Z and invite him, and if he's with us, also Chief Ivory Barksdale, to talk to us about their perception of the preventive medicine department's challenges and some solutions they may have found to overcoming those challenges. Aziz, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is HM2Z. I work at Naval Health Clinic Hawaii at the Epidemiology Preventive Medicine Clinic for Lieutenant Commander Brian Legendre. He's our preventive medicine physician here. So some of the challenges that we face going into these slides with everyone, starting off at number one for case surveillance. So for our case surveillance, we have a lot of programs that we utilize to see STI cases. One would be, of course, Essence, NDRSI, the spool report on CHCS, a program called LDOH on CHCS that allows us to see on a daily basis every reportable disease lab that was ordered for the day, and then, of course, provider-based consults. So the way that we maintain surveillance on these cases are every time that a patient does become positive or we get a referral from a provider, we annotate that into an STI tracker, a password-protected Excel document that we have, and it's kept on a restricted folder. And then that's how we maintain visibility on these patients. Now, one problem that we have is when patients go, let's say they have TRICARE standard and they're going off base to seek care, we have no cognizance over that. If they go to, we are here in Hawaii, if they go to Tripler Army Medical Center or they go to 15th Med Group for the Air Force to seek care, unless we get a kind of a FYI from our colleagues at the Army or Air Force facilities, at times it's difficult to find out about these patients in particular. So usually the main group of patients that we know about are patients that are actually going to a Navy or Marine Corps facility. If you're going to an Air Force, Army, or a civilian facility, we may not have cognizance over that, and it may fall through the cracks. So that's one of our challenges that we're facing with the case surveillance. Next up would be the STI case referral to PrevMed process. This is fairly simple. Providers, myself and Commander Brian Legendre, we try to do a good job of going to the morning huddles at a lot of these primary care facilities, and we try to remind them at least on a quarterly basis to, hey, you know, PrevMed is here for you guys. There's a PrevMed physician. Please refer your patients to us. And by and large, providers are doing their best to refer. Now, primary care physicians are very busy. They have a lot of work to do. So at times, provider-based referrals can fall through the cracks, but by and large, they are trying their best. But we are trying to advertise our services more to the primary care providers so they can actually put in more consults. The SCI case notification system, again, we don't have a process in place here at Naval Health Clinic Hawaii for that. So previously, a couple years back, I was told that whenever we had positive labs from Naval Health Clinic Hawaii facility laboratories, the laboratory would then contact PrevMed and let them know, hey, you have this positive lab or you have that positive lab. Since 2015, when myself and Commander Legendre got here, that has not continued. That has not been a continued process. We don't know why that is, but yes, it's just stopped since we've gotten here. That doesn't necessarily mean that because there's no case notification system that, you know, it's difficult for us to do our job. You just need to do a bit more manual labor of searching yourself. But I do know that at other MTS that I know specifically for Rota Spain that their lab department actually contacts the PrevMed department directly to let them know, hey, you have a positive lab for this patient or that patient. So, you know, that process in Rota, I know it's working very well. So I wish we could have it here, but again, that's something that we do not have here. For prevention counseling, with all of our patients, they get a one-on-one appointment with Commander Brian Legendre, and you know, the counseling usually lasts anywhere between 20 minutes to as long as 60 minutes with some patients. And you know, we speak to them about, you know, being in a monogamous relationship and trying to mitigate having multiple sex partners, utilizing alcohol or drugs when they're having sex, things of this nature. You know, abstaining from, you know, going to Waikiki and buying a prostitute, things of that nature. We also promote vaccinations, especially Gardasil. Hepatitis A, hepatitis B, we review their Alta immunizations encounter to ensure that they do have it or they do not have it. And then for Gardasil, it's usually recommended for people between the age of 9 to 26. At times, I have seen Commander Legendre give an off-label prescription for a good candidate. Maybe they were 27 or 28. And they had one or two partners their whole life or something to that effect, and he still believes that the vaccine would be effective for them. So Gardasil is something that's very big here that we try our best to promote. Partner referrals. For our partner referral system here, it's all about if the patient wants to disclose to us in the first place. So basically, if we have an active duty, you know, Navy patient that comes to us and he tells us that his partner is a civilian or Air Force or Army, we would then relay back to one of our sister facilities, and we'll let them know, you know, that we have this person and they just named this person as a contact. And if you can please do your best to contact this person. Department of Health of Hawaii does a fantastic job with assisting us with contacting our patients' civilian contacts, and also Tripler and 15th Med Group are fantastic as well. We've been working quite well together. But the main issue is getting partners to disclose in the first place. Maybe out of 140 patients that we've seen thus far in 2016, maybe we've gotten anywhere between 10 to 15 at most partner contacts. So that's still a big challenge that we have to kind of overcome, is actually getting the contact to disclose their partners. For STI case follow-up, we usually track the patient 90 days after they're treated and they've gotten their preventive medicine appointment with the physician. Now, if they're a high-risk person, we're usually tracking their ALTA encounters and talking to the patient a bit more frequently. For example, for someone that has syphilis, we might be tracking them a bit more in-depthly than we would be someone that had chlamydia. For the chlamydia patients, you know, after they've gotten their treatment and they've gotten their counseling, and we did any additional labs for them, we'll usually contact them back in 3 to 5 business days to allow them to inform them of their lab results. And then we usually contact them back in 90 days to ask them if they would like to get another STI checkup. It's totally optional to them if they would like it or not, but most of the patients always say, yes, I would like to be tested again. Last but not least is STI case reporting. We report to NDRSI and also we report to the state. Our case reporting has been going very well outside of the issues that I mentioned earlier with personnel going to different medical facilities. Whenever an active duty service member or their beneficiary goes to off-base care or Tripler or the Air Force, it's a bit difficult for us to report on their case due to the fact that we have no cognizance of this. Like, we usually don't know about it. Most patients won't go to a civilian emergency room and then grab their paperwork and bring that to PrevMed or bring that to their primary care provider. So at times, we are falling through the cracks with our case reporting when it comes to that. But by and large, for most of the patients that are coming to Navy or Marine Corps facilities, we are reporting all these cases. So, thank you.
Hello, this is Chief Barksdale. I'm at NEPMU 6, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. NEPMU 6 doesn't specifically provide clinical services, but we provide preventive medicine support across the Pacific. And what I did is I reached out to some of my counterparts, you know, across the PACOM AOR, and I'm just going to go over a few of the challenges that they have. One of the first challenges that they talked about was not having a designated provider within the PrevMed shop. It becomes challenging when they have to hodgepodge and use a different providers to order labs to take care of active duty patients. I did also reach out to some of the IDCs, and they also mentioned communication. So preventive medicine personnel have some challenges with the providers communicating with them. And on the same token, some of the IDCs mentioned that they don't really see a whole lot of support from PrevMed. So what I suggested to them was to maybe, you know, have regular meetings to go over some of the STI protocol. Also, still reaching across PACOM, foreign national partner referral has been a challenge, especially for brand new PMTs because they're unsure of the process and maybe the foreign nation doesn't know the particular personnel, but they did mention that that was a challenge. Also, case follow-up for foreign national personnel and then personnel that are deployed overseas can be a challenge. So that's my input. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Chief and HM2. I'm sure we'll have some questions from our group. Let's move on to talk about DRSI and case and risk reporting. Asha, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Asha Riego de Dios. I'm one of the staff epidemiologists with the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center. As Mr. McDonald alluded to earlier when discussing the idealized patient flow, one of the many activities that's performed locally by preventive medicine assets is reporting and tracking of syphilis cases. So by BioMed instruction, syphilis is one of about 60 to 70 diagnoses that are required to be reported in the disease reporting system internet. And they're required to be reported because of our ability to prevent and control spread of infection. So users of the local MTF usually within the PrevMed department log into DRSI and enter a medical event report for probable and confirmed syphilis diagnoses. So what you see in front of you is the main screen within DRSI once a user has logged in. When entering a medical event report, the first module or link is selected. And the screen you now see in front of you shows an example of a medical event report, and there are key data elements that are collected by the user and enter it into this screen, including the patient's duty station, the sponsor's duty station, sorry, patient's duty status, sponsor's duty station, date of symptom onset, the stage of syphilis. And these data then allow, you know, in an aggregate viewpoint for tracking of trends at the local level as well as at the higher headquarters level. So local MTS can track their cases over time and look at clustering by key data elements collected. So the data, along with other data, allow us at the higher headquarters to estimate the numbers and trends that are, for example, reported in this webinar. But more importantly, at the local level, you can track the information in your trends locally. And that's key to staying on top of your prevention and control efforts. The graph in front of you shows number of reported cases by year for a single MTF, and it's just one example of the many things that you can do with the data. Just as important as reporting a diagnosis is the ability actually within DRSI to track risk data associated with that syphilis diagnosis. So we talked in an earlier slide about the data that's entered by a DRSI user for a medical event report. Once that's entered, then the user is prompted to enter risk profile information. It's a module in DRSI that's designed for local use. It is voluntary, but the MTFs that are using this module have found the data very useful for understanding their local population trends. So if you're a DRSI user, you click on yes in this window to enter the risk information for the case. And it allows you to enter additional risk data on the case, including information on marital status, counseling, and sexual behavior. Not only that, there's a button at your at the bottom left-hand corner that allows you to enter and track partner information. So once you click on that button, then you'll see that you're able to actually track and collate partner information associated with your case. And you can look at trends on partner types, condom usage, partner notification, and treatment. One of the things I wanted to note here is that when a report is created, personal identifiers of the report are attached to your risk profile, even though you don't see them on the screen. It's very important then to fill in as much information in your risk profile and the partner information as you can, and then complete that screen by clicking on Submit as Final once you've collected and entered that information. Once that happens, the personal identifiers are stripped from the record, but not before then. So why enter all this information? Because as a PrevMed department in a local MTF, if you make the commitment to enter that data you're already collecting during your case follow-ups, you can reap the benefits of being able to make evidence-based decisions on your local prevention and control activities. Within DRSI, there are some summary reports that allow you to run quick statistics. With a few clicks of a button, you're also able to download your data into Excel in order to run your own analyses. I'll show you one of the summary reports at your disposal. So at your main screen, DRSI screen, if you go to the summary reports tab and run an STI risk report, the system actually provides you with readily available statistics on your population. You're able to specify time frame as well as which STIs you wish to run a report on. And the table in front of you shows you then the resulting statistics that are provided on your specific local population. You're able to compare the data to the Navy and Marine Corps population as a whole. The last two columns are the Navy Marine Corps population as a whole. For this particular MTF, they entered risk profile information for 321 STIs. The vast majority were chlamydia, were between the ages of 18 and 24. They were male, and they were active duty. and this is consistent with the trends that are seen in the Navy as a whole, except for the difference in gender, where the majority of risk profiles for the entire Navy were for females. because this table is actually so long, I had to split the table into two slides. So what you're seeing now in this slide is the bottom part of that table. So not only do you get demographic information that we just talked about, you can actually see that the majority of your STIs were single, never married, and had sexual partners that were anonymous. Of particular note in this slide is toward the bottom, highlighted in red, the number of risk profiles that are marked as not complete. And this goes back to, marking the risk profiles as final. In order to get this type of good information for your population, not only do you want to diligently enter the data, you also want to follow up and mark the profiles as complete when all the data has been submitted, meaning you don't have any more data that can be collected on that patient. The information that you're entering in terms of risk profiles is easily retrievable. It's been used by local prevent departments and commands to guide local prevention efforts in a more targeted fashion, and it provides the evidence you may need to drive your local activities. But not only that, but also to justify your activities. Little plug for our DSI help desk. If you have questions on getting an account or how to use DRSI, if you're looking for one-on-one training, we're right here. Just give us a call. We also do monthly disease surveillance training webinars for DRSI users, and that information is on the slide. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Asha. We'd like to hear now from Dwight regarding local public health department collaboration.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Actually, I say good afternoon. Good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are. I'm Dwight Richards. I am one of the health counselors with the Virginia Department of Health. And, of course, as Mr. McDonald mentioned at the outset, I'm also a former PMT. So I've got about 32 or so years in this business of actually working with patients. The role of preventive medicine is not much different than it is for the role of us here in public health. In fact, much of what preventive medicine does on a daily basis in terms of partner notification, in terms of bringing patients to care, is very, very similar to what we do. Our overall goal is really that we want to actually improve health outcomes. We want to make sure that we are identifying patients and partners very early on, and we want to contain diseases. And what that actually means for everyone is that it gets us to our fighting forces being ready at all times. So you don't have people who are on medical hold because they've been exposed to something for which they are being treated. In doing that, we also are able to get a clear picture of the disease threat across the various regions. Every state uses this as a part of how we decide how much resources to put towards training, towards marketing to the community as a whole. But it also helps us to connect patients with services, whether they have health care or not. So, again, the overall program, the overall purpose behind what we do, it's really about better health care. Since I can't see your screen, if you'll advance the screen for me, please, Mr. McDonald, to the next slide. Now, a part of the things that public health does, and this is true for just about every state, but it is definitely true for us here in Virginia, is that, we have a lot of resources that are available to you. And the way you access that is really through a collaboration. So things that we're able to do is to help with diagnosis, as well as treatment histories for patients. Whenever we get data from any source, whether it be the private medical doctor, a public health office, a military organization, all this information is actually cataloged. So if there is ever a question about, is this a person that needs to be treated, or is it the person that was successfully treated previously? We are able to actually go back and to actually look at the data and make a determination and say, yes, this person was adequately treated, does not need to be retreated, or this person appears to have been reinfected. Chief Barksdale talked about, and maybe HM2 as well, talked about what happens when the person goes outside of your cognizant area, that you may not always get feedback. That's where public health also comes in, because public health also is able to capture all of that data from various sources so that we are able to share that information with you to say, well, this is what has been reported from this organization with what's going on with a particular patient. So we're able to certainly help out there. We do provide partner services, which includes everything from interviews to referrals for services. Those service members, and this was true when I was active duty, as it appears to be still, that sometimes for a number of reasons, people don't necessarily want to tell you who their partners are. However, for us on the civilian side, we tend to be able to motivate them because we don't have the same or offer the same level of threat to their career. So therefore, they are more likely to talk with us so that we can connect their partners with care. And that becomes important because a part of the trend that we see sometimes is that a service member might have been successfully treated. However, his or her partner might not have been. They, for whatever reason, were either afraid to disclose to their partner that they had an infection, forgot to disclose to their partner, or for any reason that they didn't, whereas we are able to make the connection and to, you know, get them the care that they may need. Where your jurisdiction stops at the gate, ours begin. So we don't have a problem going and knocking on doors if people don't return or respond to phone calls or letters. So while you are limited to just operating on base, we can go out in the local economy. We can knock on doors to, you know, get people to get into care. And that has been very successful for us. So we don't really say, well, the person hasn't responded to our email or to a letter or to a phone call, and therefore we forget about the person. We do go out and we do make sure that the person is aware and has access to care. So the other part of what we do is, regardless of that person's insurance status, whether that person is covered by health insurance or not, we can get that person into care, regardless of what issues that person may be having. If it is a communicable condition, then it's something that we are actually equipped to handle as well. We are able to offer advice and case management for both your routine and your non-routine cases. This is true for both STIs, including the Big Four, which is your syphilis, gonorrhea, HIV, and chlamydia. So it's a part of what we do on a very regular basis, and of course, the big part of it is that by reporting to your local health department is that you are meeting your compliance requirements for state and federal reporting. You know, one of the things that we do here in Virginia is that we provide online the reportable list. There's a link that is on your screen, but on the next slide, you'll also see that the complete list is there. This list is very similar to the list in most states. If this is different, or at least if you're unsure of what it is in your state, please do check your local listing. But the epidemiology department for most states share a very similar list. This is also very similar to what is listed in the CCDM, the Control of Communicable Diseases in Man. So, you know, again, when in doubt, always reach out to your local health department, and they'll be able to, you know, guide you along in something that is reportable or what should be done. So it brings about the next question, which is on the next slide, which is how do you report? Well, we've made reporting very easy for us in public health. We care more so about information rather than the form or the media that it is actually located on. So simply providing us a copy of your NDRSI, of either a diagnosed or suspected case, we can certainly follow up and work with you on that to determine exactly where it is and provide guidance if you need it. HIV is slightly different. We do want the HIV on the adult confidentiality case report, which is a DHHS form. However, some states do have their own unique form that captures all of the same information. The Navy and Marine Corps centers Navy Medical Centers do actually have their own forms that they use, but it captures similar information. So whether you're in San Diego, Portsmouth, Bethesda, or elsewhere, the form that you use to capture the information, you can just provide that to your local public health department, and that's something that we're able to work with so that we can offer you the services. The field record, the CDC field record, back when I was active duty, we used to call it the Rainbow Form. I'm not sure if they still call that, but that form was also a universally accepted form across all states and territories for reporting diseases. It's not limited to STDs. It is pretty much any of the reportable conditions. And, of course, phone calls is always another way that we will take calls or take information. So if you have any questions whatsoever, your local health department, we are there to work with you. We are there to help you, you know, get your job done, because at the end of the day, we all share the same goals. And that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Dwight. Just a comment about the Rainbow Form. They used to call it the Rainbow Form because it came in a pre-printed package of multiple copies, and each copy was a different color. They don't call it the Rainbow Form anymore, and it's not multiple colors anymore. I do have one that's, I don't know, how many decades old, and I actually show that to PMT students, so they know what we're talking about when they hear somebody talk about the Rainbow Form. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for sharing that.
I beg your pardon?
I said thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you bet. I don't know. So anyway, we do have a web page dedicated to this task on the Navy and Marine Corps Public Health Center's web. You can find it pretty easy. If you Google Navy Sharp, you'll find all of our pages listed alphabetically there. And alphabetically, if you click on STI patient, you'll see this web page here. And here you're going to find all of the policies and links to those policies that have to do with conducting this important work. You'll also find all of the forms that you need, links to like DSRI and that sort of thing. You'll find helpful tools like the Prevention Counseling Desktop Assistance. You'll find a link to a film that actually demonstrates the PMT doing this work. You'll find a link to the new Rainbow Form, the field record, really, it's a very comprehensive page that we've tried to design to enable you to complete this work with the least amount of effort, at least in terms of finding the resources that you need. Another resource that I'd like to just make you aware of is this score sheets. We have it's a draft Navy PrevMed STI patient management score sheets. Nothing official about it, but it is available to you if you're interested. Drop me an email. And the way this one-page spreadsheet works is you actually score yourself regarding these different aspects of your role in managing the STI patients. For example, you get points. You get more points if you have a walk-in service for STI patients than you would if you don't. It asks you what proportion of your patients received prevention counseling. It asks about your reporting. Do you actually use the DRSI risk module or not, and that kind of thing. And I would invite you to score your own PrevMed shop using this, and maybe it will enable you to improve your overall delivery of that service. And again, that's available just by dropping me an email. Some closing thoughts that I'd like to very briefly share. We looked at an optimized STI patient flow care chart. Perhaps the key piece of that, in my view, is a strong partnership between clinician and PrevMed, and the capacity of the provider and the readiness of the provider to actually directly refer to PrevMed. This is not possible everywhere. I know some PrevMed shops that do business entirely by phone with patients. I know some PrevMed shops that are not even located on the same compound as the clinical areas, and so there are many challenges. But getting to the optimum, I think, the optimum setting to the extent that you can, in my view, increases the likelihood that our patients get the best care. We want to be sure that STI patient care isn't just medicine. There are all these other things that we're supposed to do to meet the standard of care. I would like to encourage everyone that uses the RSI to report your cases to please also consider entering your risk data and partner data. More data in means you get more data out. And it can be a very helpful quality assurance mechanism for PrevMed leaders, and also helps us better understand the STI phenomenon in our global population. And finally, I'd like to just say that it's essential, in my view, to have a strong, ongoing relationship with your local public health departments. You should really know their names. You should be meeting with them from time to time so that you have an ongoing information sharing between you. And I'd like to offer Asha, Chief Dwight, and HM2 an opportunity to share their closing thoughts.
I spoke first. A closing remarks for myself would be that on a daily basis, we're just striving to do better for the patients and to ensure that nobody is falling through the cracks and nobody is not, there isn't someone that is not being taken care of. So here at Naval Health Clinic Hawaii, our provider, Dr. Legendre, just focuses on capturing as many people as possible and doing our best to take care of them. We've recently just had a meeting with our Department of Health of Hawaii and our sister branches about what we can do to streamline the process of reporting and to ensure that we are all communicating amongst each other. So every day we're making strides and hurdles to get better. So I hope that everybody else within Navy Medicine is doing the same. Thank you.
Hello, this is Chief Bartolo, Navy 6. I'd just like to encourage everyone that's listening, if you're having issues with STI case follow-up or just STI patients in general, you have resources out there. You can contact your Cognizant NetMU. You have Navy Marine Corps Public Health Center. And just to echo what everybody else has been saying, just have that dialogue with your local public health department. And those are my remarks.
Hi, this is Asha. I think if there was one point that I would want to make from the DRSI portion is that I'd encourage you to guide your program and activities using evidence-based decisions. And the reporting capability in DRSI as well as the risk module are designed to enable you to do that.
And this is Dwight. Again, it's one of those where we look forward to continuing the relationships that we've built with the Navy Marine Corps Center as well as the local preventive medicine shop. In my 10 years here in Portsmouth, we've actually developed a strong relationship with the local preventive medicine office. And that has really allowed us and allowed the preventive medicine office to actually be very effective in reaching patients and getting patients into care. In fact, we tend to talk on a very regular basis, minimum of once a week, sometimes several times a day, as we look at cases, as we work at getting patients or partners into care. I encourage all of you to continue to do that if you're already doing it. And if you're not doing it, do get to know your local public health office because, again, that's a resource that is really invaluable. And again, all of you, I thank you for your service.
Thank you so much. So there is a poll question up there now. If you'd care to give us your feedback, we greatly appreciate it. I'd like you to know that there is a link to an archived version of this webinar, and both the slides and the audio will be posted there in the coming days. I would like to say thank you so much to our presenters. We do have a few minutes left if you'd like to unmute and ask any questions or enter your questions into the chat box. We'd be happy to try and answer those.
I do have one comment that I would like to say. This is Dwight again. Since I don't have access to see the discussion going on screen, I'll assume that someone has already addressed this. And if not, something that HM2 said, that in terms of the patient referral, it's up to the patient to talk about their partners. I think a key group that should not be overlooked. Sometimes patients will forget that group, but, you know, we should not, are really spouses. Sometimes that partner, that patient may not mention that they are married, but if we know that they are married, then we may also want to make sure that they do know that their spouses do need to be brought into the care scenario. While you may not be able to disclose that the partner or the patient is actually diagnosed with something, it's the way we approach it in public health, when we talk to spouses, we say someone mentioned or someone who was diagnosed with whatever it is that they were diagnosed with mentioned that they might benefit from being tested and being treated because they might have been exposed. Because we oftentimes find that the spouses or sometimes the last to know, and particularly with syphilis, we've had a number of syphilis cases that the patient had actually progressed into secondary or sometimes tertiary situations because the spouse that was diagnosed had not even mentioned that they were married, or even if they had mentioned it, didn't bother to mention to their spouse that was not infected that they were exposed. So it's important to keep that group in mind so that they can be brought into the care picture as well.
Thank you, Dwight. What are your questions or concerns from our listeners?
Susie, I have a question for some of the listeners that are at other MTFs. Does your lab play a role in notifying PrevMed of positive lab results for reportable diseases?
This is Lieutenant Paddock at NMCP. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Our lab developed some ad hoc reports, reports that we can actually just access so that we wouldn't have. So right now, for a while, we were going down and they were just printing out reports for us. And what we did is had IMD with the help of the lab get the reports so we can just access them ourselves. So that's like the way that we get around them notifying us. So not just printing it out. We don't have to talk to them. We can just get the lab ourselves and pull it up. And then we just double check that against Essence. But they do report. I think Virginia has a different law that the labs also report. So they just report to us, and then we're the ones who just report out to VDH for lab and for the providers within 3 days.
So is the lab notifying you of a positive lab result? Is that more so just a redundancy? Like them doing it wouldn't hurt your disease reporting capabilities?
No, so it's the same they're just printing out the report that they would be telling us. So
Roger. Thank you.
other thoughts or concerns?
Paddock again. I don't know if anyone else on the line, but I think we came across at NMCP because it's such a big MCF. We had issues with just getting our STI, the patients, the referrals, because, you know, they all go through the home port, and that's where they're trying to trickle through, and then, or they go to the ED through fast track, and we wouldn't see them, and, you know, we would be tracking them down later for treatment or for partner notification services, education, counseling. I think we may have found a way around that, working through the infectious disease clinic. It's a new initiative we're looking at, but we're still trying to keep, you know, in line with the, I guess, the spirit of the home port model and, you know, patients utilizing their PCM. But I don't know if anyone else has had similar issues, but I know at the clinic it was a little easier at the Portsmouth now, STI counseling, education, getting partners. We're getting the patients. It's been a little bit of a challenge, but I think we're working through it.
Well, thank you so much, and I see that Mickey's big and little hand are indicating that we're out of time. I do want to say thank you again so much to our guest speakers. I want to thank each of you for taking the time out of your busy day to join us. And I hope that we can continue this dialogue. Please also tell us if we can conduct webinars on other topics that you would find useful, or even expand on this topic. Again, the slides and audio will be available soon on our webinars page, and I invite you to share that information with your colleagues. And I will talk to you next time. Bye now.